Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we focus for a few more minutes on the gift of the family, we are going to be using the gospel lesson that we read moments ago from Mark chapter 10. And as we do that, we are going to take this opportunity, as you see in your worship folder, to rethink the family. As we do that, we're going to be reminding ourselves that the reason it's time to rethink the family is because of everything that's going on around us. When do you rethink things? Usually you rethink things when there is some new information that has come along. This last weekend, I met my son and his wife over in Albert Lee and we went camping. Some of you already know this. I don't really rough it anymore. I take the kitchen sink with me, I'm in a trailer, I got a heater, I'm off the ground. But my son still likes to do the tenting thing. So he calls me up a couple of days before we're supposed to meet over in the campground. He says, Dad, the forecast says that it's supposed to be like 20 degrees overnight and it's supposed to rain. Do you mind if we cancel our site and just stay in the trailer with you guys? He had some new information. And so it's time to rethink the plan. Sometimes you get that new information and it might be something not quite so serious, like what are you going to do with a camping trip? Other times you rethink information because something very serious has just happened. You're planning the surgery. But now you find out there's an infection someplace, or you discover that there's something going on in the heart. You need to rethink this plan now. Can you still do the surgery? Do we need to take care of this other issue first? It's time to rethink the family, not so much because of what you and I are about to learn is brand new information that we hadn't heard before, but as we rethink marriage and as we rethink children, we've got all kinds of information flying around us. And so we're going to have the opportunity to think a little bit about what the world says and what the world thinks. And then in each case, we'll also have a chance to hear what Jesus says. So we turn our attention to Mark chapter 10. It's time to rethink the family. Let's start as we rethink marriage. What does the world say? Well, we turn our attention to the Pharisees. Some Pharisees came to test him and asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He replied, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away." The first verse of this chapter reminds us that, as normal, there were all kinds of people gathered around Jesus, all these people listening to him, and he was taking the opportunity to teach them. And as was regularly the case, you had this mixed crowd going on. You had those who wanted to hear, and you had those who wanted to learn, and you had those who wanted to interrogate him. That's really the picture behind their word "ask." The Pharisees come to interrogate Jesus, and we also know the reason for that. They wanted to test him. They were hoping that they would find something to catch him on, kind of pin him into one extreme or another, so that no matter how he answered, somebody would be upset and he could be discredited. And so they come with this sort of broad, open-ended question: is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Jesus, of course, knows what they're doing. And so he forces them to tip their hand a little bit by saying, "Well, what did Moses tell you?" And they basically answer pretty much by saying, "Well, Moses said it was okay." They'll go back to Deuteronomy chapter 24. And they quoted from that chapter. Moses allowed a husband to write a certificate of divorce and send her away. As you would keep on reading in that section, he used the word displeasing. If the man found something displeasing about his wife, later on, he uses the word indecent. But by the time you get to the Pharisees of Jesus' day, they had taken that word displeasing and it became to mean anything. Anything could be displeasing. Anything could be a reason to end the marriage. It could be as serious as unfaithfulness. It could be as minor as, "Well, I happen to like the way she looks better." And they took that as kind of their license to do whatever they wanted to do with the marriage. In fact, if you keep on reading, Moses is also talking about the fact if he writes that certificate of divorce, divorces his wife, goes over here, marries this wife, all of a sudden discovers that the grass is not greener on the other side of the fence, divorces her, wants to go back to the first one. And God is saying, we're not going to get into this. This is God's amazing gift. And yet you see what the Pharisees and what the society around Jesus' time had done with marriage. Does it really sound a whole lot different than what the world is saying now? The world is also saying that pretty much anything goes. You can do whatever you want. You're aware that there's all kinds of people, there are many who are not married but are pretending to be. They're acting as if they are, sort of. There's no commitment there. What's actually happening is they're just using each other. I'm not willing to say that I love you enough. I'm not willing to say that I'm going to commit to you enough. I'm not willing to say that you are the one that I'm going to spend my time with. I will use you as long as this feels good to me. I will use you as long as it's beneficial to us. And even though they're maybe not thinking along those lines, I'm being used also until something better comes along. Just selfishness. A lack of commitment, and a lack of respect. Of course, on the other extreme, you've got those who are married, but they're acting as if they're not. They're busy leading their separate lives underneath the same roof, running here, there, going there, finding whatever reason they can to just simply kind of destroy everything. Which comes out to the same thing, right? Selfishness. I'm going to do whatever I think works good for me. You and I are living in that world that, you know, marriage is optional. Marriage is a custom. Marriage is something that we may or may not wish to use. And we don't even know who can get married if he even need to. It's time to rethink marriage. And no matter where we are in this whole spectrum of things, we are also able to find out that a lot of times we find ourselves buying into some of the things that the world thinks, maybe even more than what we're willing to. And that kind of thinking begins to infiltrate itself into the church because every single one of us struggles with that same sinful nature. And I'm sure you're in the same boat that I am. As you see that making inroads, and as you see more and more marriage struggling, you see what is happening to the family, you see what is happening in society, and it weighs on your hearts. Almost to the point where you can't keep up. And as soon as there becomes so many cases that you cannot keep up with and you cannot talk about or you're unwilling to talk about, whatever the reason ends up being, then all of a sudden there are those who begin to think, well, then maybe the church doesn't care. Nobody's saying anything. Maybe it's okay. And that weighs on our hearts even more. So let's rethink marriage. And listen to what Jesus says. But Jesus told them, he wrote this command for you because of your hard hearts. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Jesus reminded these Pharisees that the law was not given to encourage the sin. The law was given because of hard hearts. God already knew that hard-hearted, selfish people were going to abuse any of his gifts, including the gift of marriage. And so he's controlling that sinful nature. He is curtailing those sinful desires. But Jesus takes them back even farther. If you really want to know what marriage is all about, you've got to go past Moses. You've got to go all the way back to day 6. God's the one who made them male and female. God's the one who brought them together. God's the one who joined them and gave this amazing, amazing gift of marriage and family. Therefore, what God has glued together, that's kind of the picture behind that word, what God has glued together, let nobody pry apart and get some distance in between. Remember where this comes from. And remember the amazing blessings that come from having that partner that is suitable and just right for you. End up back in the house nearby. And now it's the disciples' turn to interrogate. It's the same word. But of course, they've got a completely different purpose. They want to know a little bit more about this, so they keep on asking. Once they were in the house, the disciples asked him about this again. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. If she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." Pretty simple. As our Lord and our Savior reminds us that the moment you destroy that marriage and you go after someone else, you've just destroyed, you've been unfaithful. And so if he divorces her, that's unfaithfulness, adultery. If she divorces him, that's adultery. You suppose this is popular? You suppose the people in our world, and sometimes even my own sinful heart, likes hearing? As we take a look at our own marriages and we see the struggles that we face and we see what it does to the family and we see how it's unraveling society and how it's leading this world to say whatever and to whoever and with however, no wonder it's time to rethink marriage. And no wonder it's time to start listening again to what our Lord and our God has to say. And closely related to that, it would appear that as this discussion is going on, now you've got people starting to bring the children. And it's not much of a jump to think about that if you're going to be rethinking marriage, that you also then need to rethink children. So once again, let's think about what the world has to say. And sadly, this time it's the disciples that sort of serve as the bad example. Some people began bringing little children to Jesus so that he would touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Amen, I tell you, whoever will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the little children in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. As people were bringing those little children to Jesus, you find out what makes him indignant. He doesn't use that word very often. But it comes up every now and then in the Gospels, and every time Jesus becomes indignant, it's because there's somebody preventing someone from hearing about him. And this time it was the disciples, who probably were well-meaning, who probably were thinking that there was all kinds of things going on. Jesus had been surrounded by these crowds. He had bigger and better things to do. Let's not let the children bother him. But Jesus becomes indignant. Don't keep them away. What about our world? What does it think about the gift of children? Well, I suppose we could work from one horrible extreme to maybe one that doesn't seem as bad. A lot of the children are just aborted before they even have a chance to come to Jesus. Somebody cuts off their time of grace. Determines that they're not really human, just something that I can dispose of. Some children are simply warehoused, sent off to the side, planted in front of some sort of screen somewhere so that they don't get in the way of mom and dad's plans and goals and strivings. More of a nuisance than anything. Some children are taught that Jesus is at church, but not at home. That it's just something that we do periodically, now and then. We're really not going to make them part of our lives. And once again, no matter where we are in our own lives, as we think about ourselves as children, or we think about how we have reinteracted with our children, have we been taught, and have we taught our children, don't bother Jesus. Leave him alone. He's for later. Time to rethink children and rejoice in what Jesus says. Jesus does not say he's too busy for them. Jesus does not say that when they get a little older, then they can come. He says, let them come. Let them come. He stretches out his arms. Let these little children come to me, because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. He wants them. In fact, he wants them so badly that he even reminds you and me that he wants us to be just like them. He takes that little child and he holds them up and says, here is the perfect picture of faith. The little child that just simply says, okay, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Regardless of what the world is saying, regardless of what's going on in life, good days, bad days, that little child just simply knows that Jesus loves me. And our Savior wants us to have that same childlike faith. As we get older, we start asking the why question. We don't stop that just because we leave 2 and go to 3. Why did God let this happen? Why did God allow that disaster to take place? Why did I get sick? Why didn't my friend get sick? Why all of these things? And Jesus comes once again and he says, I want you to be like that little child and I want you to just trust. I'm going to take you in my arms. I'm going to carry you. I'm going to watch over you. I'll get you through this. Maybe it won't be quite the way that you were expecting or the way that you might have liked, but I will get you through this, and I will do what is best for you. Because just as we heard in the second lesson, you're my child. You're my son. You're my daughter. Because your brother Jesus has entered into this world. Your brother Jesus went through all of those sufferings in your place. Your brother Jesus went to that cross and he rose in triumph. Your brother Jesus assures you that you do have life. That's why you are my children. Let them come. And so he picks them up and he takes them in his arms and he holds them and he blesses them. As we think about our own children, I suppose perhaps maybe that isn't even necessarily so popular among the world either. And as we see how those treat children and how they're raised, it probably shouldn't surprise us then that perhaps they go into marriages not knowing what's going on either. And once again, the fabric of society begins to unravel. As we do that little rethinking, again, not because this is new information, but as we rethink that, I'm going to guess that every single one of us, as we rethink marriage and as we rethink children, can be just a bit unsettled. So Jesus takes us in his arms. The arms that were stretched out on that cross, the arms that assure you that all of those sins that are weighing on you at the moment, how you acted as a child, how you treat your children, how you have interacted in your marriage, good, bad, or otherwise, how every one of those sins went to that cross. He takes in those arms that had been stretched out in blessing. As he rose from this earth and ascended back to the glories of heaven to guide and to direct and to watch over all things and to shower his grace and his mercy on you. It is those arms that wrapped around you at your baptism. It is those arms that wraps around you as you hear his words. It is those arms that wraps themselves around you when you come and take the very body and blood of your Savior, that in that means of grace he comes to you and he says, you're forgiven. You're my child. And because we're forgiven, now we get to reflect. Now we get to rejoice. Now we get to rethink marriage. We get to rethink children. We get to rethink everything. Because we're no longer wrapping ourselves up in what's going on in the world around us. But now we're back to listening to Jesus and rejoicing in his grace. God's blessings to your families. As you rejoice in all the blessings that God gives to you and as you rejoice in that forgiveness that comes from him. And then God's blessings as you reflect him in your families. Amen.